Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to another episode of The Season Keepers, the show where the only two people we recommend keeping for the season is us. My name's Matt, aka Clean Sheet Wipeout.
My name's James, aka FPL Drug.
How you doing, mate?
Buzzing. Birthday at the weekend. Nice. Can't do anything because of lockdown, but I've got some beers I know arriving, so that'll be a treat. I understand you bought some recently as well.
I did, yeah. I think I shared it on Twitter, but I got a haul of 13 different flavoured stouts from Beer 52. You know, they're not sponsors or anything, but nice little plug. Free beers would be nice, right? But I've kind of got into the habit of taking myself to bed with a can from the fridge, and it's actually quite nice just sitting in bed, sipping on this flavoured stout and then going to sleep. So I've had mint chocolate, a caramel pastry, and last night was chocolate orange. Lovely. So I highly recommend them.
Nice. Yeah, they sounded good.
Nah, right up your street, that's for sure. But yeah, your birthday's Sunday, isn't it? So
yeah, it is. Another year older, getting rapidly close to 30 years old. So
join the club, mate. Join the club. You're the last one out of the friendship group to have your lockdown birthday, so enjoy.
Yeah, I am. I just escaped it last year, thankfully.
Yeah. Right, we've got an incredibly long double game week to talk about, albeit probably a double game week of two halves, really. But should we jump straight into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Go on, then. First things first, Manchester City 2, West Ham 1.
Wow. I thought this was obviously great to see Diaz score. But then, for me, as someone that owns Diaz and Stones, it almost would have been better for bonus points-wise just for Diaz to score in terms of rank for me. But obviously, I'm not going to complain. I own them both. It was amazing to see them both score headers. Double game weeks and centre-backs. It's a mad phenomenon.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, like Laporte's done it. Diaz has done it. Obviously, Stones has done it twice now, I think. It's something about Man City centre-backs in double game weeks, yeah. Just makes you question why none of us ever captained them in double game weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Fill the team with centre-backs.
Absolutely, yeah. But obviously we missed out on the clean sheet there because Antonio once again got his goal, didn't he?
Yep, banging form. I do want to bring him in, but in the back of my mind is his hamstring injury. I just feel like it could pop at any moment.
Yeah, tell me about it. And obviously, I know that they play in 29 against Arsenal, but it's the games against, you know, the likes of Leeds. I think there's a lot of running in a game like against Leeds. The Man United game in game week 28, obviously Lingard can't play in that, given, you know, that's his parent club. I think that could potentially affect Antonio's output in that game. And then obviously it's Arsenal in 29. But to have those games, Antonio's hamstrings, like you said, just worry me.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Lingard, however, if he didn't have that blank in game week 28, genuinely, I think I'd be all over him as a Barnes replacement.
In fairness, I'm actually looking at him as a Barnes replacement.
Yeah.
Quite easily bench him for 28, play him in 27, and then obviously play him in 29.
Yeah. I think I might go the same direction, but not bringing him in this week. I've already made my move, which I'll reveal later. But yeah, I think I'll probably have him for game week 29 if he maintains the current form, because 6 million, you can't complain. And like we said in the last pod, he's doing so well and he looks so sharp.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. Like any player, if you haven't got a free hit, becomes instantly more attractive if they play in 29.
Yeah, absolutely. And then obviously Kevin De Bruyne got his assist, got 3 bonus points. Would you be tempted to go back to him?
I mean, I've definitely thought about it. It just feels a bit risky to just sort of jump straight into him. I kind of want to see how he does for a couple of weeks. Obviously, I mean, he'll only take one performance where he scores 2 goals and gets an assist before every man and his dog tries to crowbar him back into your team. But
absolutely,
to be honest, he wasn't looking that amazing before he started to miss out through injury. Like, he like, obviously Gundogan's impressed in his absence, and it's going to be interesting to see how that affects Gundogan going forward, him returning to the team.
Agreed, yeah. And the fact that Man City, obviously, they double in 27, Man United and Southampton, both at home. And then they play Fulham away on the Saturday. So it's three games in a week. Now, after his injury, does Kevin De Bruyne play all three of those games? I don't think so.
I'm not sure. Like, obviously, Pep's come out a couple of times and said, like, how important he is. He must play every game. We have to play him. We need him. But as you say, coming back from an injury, does that make it a little bit different?
Well, exactly. And the fact that they've proven that even without him, you know, they maintained this run of form. So, in fact, in some games, you probably didn't even notice that he wasn't there.
Yeah, no, agreed. They almost look stifled a little bit when he comes back, in terms of they're not as fluid. Everything sort of then has to go through KDB, whereas before it didn't. It would just go through whoever, be it Gundogan, Foden, whoever. But yeah, it's an interesting one.
Yeah, no, very much so. But at the moment, I think he's 12% owned. I expect it to rise, but for me, I won't be bringing him in just yet. All right, let's move on then. So West Brom 1, Brighton 0, and a game full of missed chances, missed penalties, and VAR/referee controversy.
Yeah, very much the referee controversy here with obviously Lee Mason and Dunk. Yeah, like, fair play to Dunk. In his interview, he didn't mince his words. He didn't try and be careful. He basically said it's a huge, huge error, which it clearly is. He blows the whistle twice.
Yeah, he's panicked at the end of the day. Now, obviously, Dunk scored a very similar goal against Liverpool, didn't he? Where he asked the referee if he could take it early. Ref said yes. I think it was Adrian in goal at the time. And then he slotted it in, far right-hand corner, basically passed it in. This is exactly the same scenario. He's clearly asked the referee. The ref has blown his whistle. He's taken it. And I think Lee Mason has then obviously looked up, seen that Johnson isn't in position, completely panicked, even though there's nothing in the rule to say that, you know, he has to be in position, and has blown it again. And then VAR has done the only thing that they can do there, and rule the goal out, because the moment that Lee Mason's obviously blown that second whistle, the game is no longer in play. And the fact that the ball hadn't crossed the line has to be ruled out. But to give it, to then rule it out and give it, mad. Absolutely mad.
Oh, yeah, it's farcical. I mean, that's literally the whole point of what Dunk was trying to do, is take it quickly, because they are off guard. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done it. He probably wouldn't have scored. So
exactly.
It's a shame for him. He's sort of getting punished for his kind of good vision and good idea.
But yeah. And what's your opinion on taking free kicks early?
I think it's okay. And he actually went out of his way to... He asked the ref. It's not like that he asked the ref. The ref said no, and then he took it anyway, and then he blew up. But that'd be fair enough. I'd be on the side of the referee. But
yeah,
it's... I don't get that from him. But obviously... No,
It's funny how you can take a quick free kick on the halfway line. You don't even have to ask the referee.
No one gives a shit about what's going on in the middle of the field with regards to fouls, tackles, because you don't have that potential of a penalty or that, like, a goal changing decision.
Yeah.
They tend to make more correct decisions in the middle of the park.
Yeah. Exactly. Whereas, you know, you're effectively being punished by potentially, say, being through on goal. Yeah, there could be a covering defender that, you know, might get there. But someone could take you out, get a yellow card, and then it allows the game to completely reset. And you've then got to attempt a free kick. Now, yeah, you know, people like Prowsey, exceptional at free kicks, but it's not a guaranteed goal. Whereas, you know, you've probably got a 90% probability of scoring the chance that you had. So they piss me off sometimes.
Yeah.
But obviously, Brighton were probably makers of their own downfall in this game, because not only did they have that Dunk opportunity, but then they went on to miss two penalties. Obviously, Pascal Gross hitting the crossbar, and then Welbeck hitting the post.
Yeah, not Brighton's day, I don't think. No. especially against obviously West Brom, who are down there in the relegation zone. They could have done with this win, and they've come away somehow with nothing.
Yeah, I think Sam Johnson must have beaten the record in Sky for a single game for a goalkeeper, because obviously they've got that ridiculous rule where if a penalty is missed, even though the keeper hasn't made the save, he gets the save points. So he's got a clean sheet, 6 saves, and 2 penalty saves, technically.
So he got a ton of points. Admittedly, hardly anyone owns him.
That'd be crazy. But yeah, Brighton just continue to look so good playing football, but can't seem to put away chances. It's XG killers, that's for sure. Right, another game which I was actually really excited for and incredibly surprised by the result in the end. It was Leeds 0, Aston Villa 1.
Another goal for El Ghazi, who seems to step up in Grealish's absence. Real surprise kind of package from this season, I'd say he is. In fairness, he has missed quite a few good chances as well during the season, but he's also put a decent amount away. And at his price point, he's a decent punt for anyone, especially as he obviously plays in 29.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And may double in 28.
Yep. Well, and the fact that he took this goal so well, because obviously we know how bad the Leeds pitch is. It was terrible before they relayed the pitch, and it's just as bad now that they've relayed it. People are losing their footing left, right and centre. Obviously, Bamford made his comments a couple of weeks ago. But how El Ghazi manages to stay on his feet at that point, obviously completely off balance, take the ball down and score from effectively a Watkins slip, because he was shooting, he wasn't passing. Whereas I think it was a few minutes before, Bamford did a very similar thing, obviously went to shoot, got it wrong, ended up going to Rafinha in the miss. And now that could have been very easily a similar chance to what El Ghazi and Watkins did. But yeah, I was really, really impressed by Villa in the way that they took to the game, both obviously defensively and going forward.
Yeah, I mean, Leeds aren't an easy team to defend against, so credit to Villa for their performance. Obviously, they work very hard, they run very far, do Leeds, so credit to Villa in the absence of Grealish.
Yeah, very much so. All right, and then the fourth game of the Saturday, it was Newcastle 1, Wolves 1.
And Lascelles' return, he's always threatening, is Lascelles in terms of defender in the game. About the only Newcastle defender you could potentially want, I guess, if you were going to have one for 29. Obviously, they've got a great fixture next. They've got West Brom. They could do something there. But, I mean, they've had 4 clean sheets the entire season, so doesn't really look good for them, especially, obviously, without Wilson, Son Maximin, Almiron. They've been hit quite big with injuries in the midfield.
Yeah, obviously, but both went off in this game, which wasn't great for them. Taking the lead, you know, I think big shock, to be honest. And obviously, we're so used to LaSalle popping up with the odd header and whatnot, but that was his first goal of this season.
I was surprised to see that, actually. Obviously, he's been out injured for a decent amount of this season. But yeah, in previous seasons, I think he scored 3 goals a couple of seasons ago, a goal last season or the season before. He is a threat from corners, and I've been lucky enough to get some of those points in previous seasons. Likewise. Just been that cheap player that you get on at the right time and just happens to return. I was actually thinking about that. Do you remember I had Robert Hoof and he scored twice against...
Yep, yes, I do.
What a time.
The jam, honestly.
It's about 4.4 million and scores 2 goals away at Man City at the Etihad in their title winning season. And yeah, that's what everything else was about.
There's obviously Ruben Neves, then somewhat saved the day for Wolves, getting them a point, returned again. So I think that's 2 goals in his last 4 games.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very good player. He's capable. Just one I'll probably never put in my team.
No, exactly. Not many have. He's only 1.7% owned, but just a tidy little option. And to be fair, potentially more of a Sky option going forward than an FPL option. Right, let's move on to Sunday. And I think at one point, BBC described this as the most boring game that they had watched in quite some time. It was Crystal Palace 0, Fulham 0.
Yeah, I had it on the same time as the Leicester-Arsenal game, and I barely looked at it, if I'm honest. wasn't too much going on, but a clean sheet for yourself, Areola. Decent keeper, obviously. Guaita, four saves. Obviously comes away with the free bonus as well. So those of you that own him, I'm not sure how many do.
No.
3% is it's a modest ownership. But
it's not bad.
You'll take that against Fulham, because Fulham have been quite dangerous recently.
Very much so. And obviously, Fulham are one of those teams that play in game week 29. Now, I'm writing an article for Jumpers for Goalposts, looking at game week 29. And I've actually touched on, albeit mad or not, potentially bringing in both either Anderson or Aina for that Leeds fixture. Because obviously, I'm not expecting a clean sheet, albeit Villa have proven, you know, that's possible. But we know how poor Leeds are against set plays. Now, Anderson in particular has had, I think it's 5-6 chances in his last two games, like goal-scoring attempts. He's the type of player you want in that box, you know, from a set piece against Leeds. And I could very much see, you know, if there was a return going to come from a defender at Fulham from a free kick or a corner, Anderson could be the one.
Yeah, that's a good shout. It's something I've not really looked at or springs to mind. I tend to think of Lookman when I think of Fulham in terms of potential points, or obviously the keeper. But yeah, no, it's a good idea to look at those returns before they happen, rather than a kind of the typical way we look at it, those returns that have already happened necessarily happen again.
Well, because Fulham's fixtures are incredibly difficult from now till the end of the season. But yeah, I was just thinking, particularly for those that are potentially on free hits, because I know that there's still a lot of free hits around. Anderson, you know, he's 4.5 million. He's only 0.2% owned. So if you're looking for a bit of a differential, I'd potentially punt on him, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an option.
But yeah, no doubt we'll get messages saying you're fucking idiots and whatnot. But yeah, just my opinion.
It's not for me, but your argument makes sense.
Well, there you go. Right, and moving on to the next game. And to be fair, when I first looked at the team sheets, I thought Arsenal are resting too many players here. This could be Leicester's day. But it ended up being Leicester 1, Arsenal 3.
Yeah, an interesting game. For Leicester's goal, I was surprised how little they closed down Tielemans. He was just allowed to keep running and running into the box, and then just powers it into the corner.
Yeah.
Quite bad defending on Arsenal's part. They've actually been okay over the last couple of months, but yeah, I expected them to close him down a little bit more.
Yeah, it was dreadful. But then Arsenal kind of grew into the game and almost exposed Leicester's, obviously, weaknesses, ravaged by injury, very, very much like, obviously, Southampton. And I think it's starting to hit their season, to be fair. Willian, to be fair, I even forgot he played for Arsenal. His first return since game week 10, which is madness. And I think both Willian and Pepe looked brilliant, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Willian, first game of the season, got those three assists. And I think he got another one, and then he's just got these two, and then that's been it for the season. So very much a player that performs on his day. The course of the season, he's not been great.
No, of course not. I don't want to kind of rave about them after one game, but it'll be interesting to see if, obviously, given Arsenal have got to work around both Europa and the league, it'd be interesting to see how much more game time Willian and Pepe get, and if they can keep up this form that they showed against Leicester, because if so...
Yeah, I mean, if Pepe was to start sort of consistently, he could be an option. He's been performing quite well recently. He scored a couple of goals and looked a better player, a more confident player. He looked quite sort of nervous when he first came over.
Oh, his goal in this game was brilliant.
Yeah, he's starting to look like he's worth at least maybe half of what they pay for
him. He's got a long way to go for that price tag. But
yeah, I mean, I don't have enough money to go from Barnes to him, but if I did, I'd be tempted.
Yeah. Oh, of course. And obviously, again, another one of those teams that plays in game week 29. And that's kind of the targets at the moment, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. Those are the teams I'm looking at, particularly the ones with the good fixture. Obviously, Brighton have got Newcastle, so I'm looking at Brighton defenders.
Yeah.
Brighton midfielders, not really got much going for them. It's just kind of Trossard and that's it.
Yeah.
And I don't really want him.
Let's move on to the other side of North London. And obviously it was Spurs 4, Burnley 0, and the Gareth Bale show.
Yeah, the Gareth Bale show, indeed. It's good to see him back, to be honest. Playing with a smile on his face. Fantastic performance from him, to be honest. He was sort of involved in everything Spurs were doing. Him and Son were linking up quite well. Obviously, Son got the assists for Bale's goals. And Bale looked really confident. So it's good to see.
Oh, very, very much so. I mean, shout out to Luke Disable for his triple captain of Gareth Bale. Fair fucking play, mate.
Yeah, I don't blame him. He clearly was frustrated with his season and just thought, fuck it, I'm going to triple captain him. And those sort of punts can pay off like this. Credit to him.
Yeah.
Owned by hardly anyone as well.
No, exactly. Like, so many people have kind of come and gone from him. He's only 1.6% owned in FPL. To get that hole is amazing. I did a draft for Planet FPL's patrons, and I accidentally, during the draft, we did it a couple of weeks ago for the halfway point of the season, I accidentally brought Bale in during the draft. I clicked the wrong thing. I took him out of my team before this week. Fucking raging.
What a nightmare.
Absolutely fuming. I mean, I'm still top of our Division 2 league, thankfully. But, mate, if I had had his points, would have been lovely. But,
I was actually toying with a minus 4 of Bale and Madger. So, instead of DCL and Barnes, I was going to do Bale and Madger, which obviously would have been better now.
Huge.
Yeah, but I thought, because I've got Son and I'm triple captain in Son, I thought that'd be enough.
Yeah, to be fair, I can see quite a few people ending up on the triple up of Son, Bale and Kane come game week 29, because if Bale continues to now get minutes, you know, I think that's two games in a row. He's come off 69, 66. He'll probably get the same against Palace at the weekend. So if he becomes consistent, why not?
I mean, I think a lot of people are going for him. A lot of people seem to be coming off of Bruno.
Yeah,
obviously he's not playing in 29. He's got City next and West Ham, so it's a bit of a tricky run for them.
Yeah, decent shout, to be fair. Whereas Burnley, I think they came into the game all wrong. Obviously, Spurs getting that early goal didn't really help them. And instead of kind of settling down, trying to make their way back into the game, Spurs just kept hitting them. And it's probably the sharpest I think I've seen Tottenham play in a while.
Agreed. Also, Burnley weren't particularly great, which is worth recognising. And obviously, we'll see when we talk about the second game, the kind of difference between Burnley's performance to, say, Fulham's.
Yeah.
I don't feel now confident with Burnley. I own Ben Mee. I want to get him out, obviously. But I feel like they could be on the end of a pasting from, say, anyone, maybe a Chelsea, a Man United. I feel like they're due another kind of beating. Obviously, 4-0's not a great performance, but I feel like...
No. And it's worrying as well, because Burnley, they sit 15th in the table at the moment, 29 points. They're obviously 6 points above the relegation zone, but Fulham. But both Brighton and Newcastle behind them have a game in hand. And if Burnley aren't careful, they could be dragged into it. But then when I say that, I then start to think, well, Southampton are only a point above Burnley. So,
I was just about to say, us as well. I think we're both sliding towards the drop zone. Us maybe faster than Burnley, to be honest.
Need points soon, but we'll touch on that. All right, let's move on to a game that failed to live up to expectation. And we've said it before, but these top six ties seemed to do that this season. It was Chelsea 0, Man United 0.
Yeah, another disappointing clash of the Titans. Christensen, free bonus. I mean, no one's going to own him.
No.
Some saves for De Gea. Obviously, he's rotating sort of De Gea and Henderson. Tetsi tends to mix it up a little bit. Maybe Henderson should be the main goalkeeper, but credit to De Gea, 6 saves, a clean sheet against Chelsea. It's not a bad performance.
No, not at all. And I mean, yeah, you touch on Christensen there. I've been very impressed with him stepping in for Thiago Silva. Obviously, when Silva comes back, I think it's going to be quite unfortunate. I think maybe perhaps doesn't deserve to be dropped, but inevitably will be. And yeah, you obviously touch on David De Gea there with his 6 saves. He was then obviously rotated for the next game, which we'll touch on. But it's been announced today that the reason behind that was because David De Gea was allowed to fly back to Spain for the birth of his child. So,
did not know that.
Yeah. So he missed that game, and he's not obviously going to be back for this game coming up this week, both traveling back and then due to COVID rules because he's left the country. So maybe Henderson's got a chance to prove himself a little bit.
Yeah, maybe the birth of his child could be the downfall of him.
Who knew we'd say that, eh? Right, and then let's move on to the final game of the Sunday, and it was Sheffield United 0, Liverpool 2.
Yep, much-needed win for Liverpool. Obviously, they've been a bit ropey form-wise recently. Credit to Adrian for keeping a clean sheet. To be honest, I don't actually expect Adrian to keep a clean sheet when he plays.
No.
I mean, Liverpool's defence as well, obviously, is short of Van Dijk. We know that. But, yeah, Alisson, who is normally very reliable, with the exception of the last couple of months, they're normally missing. But credit to Adrian, he stepped up.
He did, yeah. Obviously, Salah, Mane, once again, failed to perform, really. Trent walked away with 3 bonus points in this game, mainly for his clean sheet. Thought that was unfortunate. I thought Curtis Jones had an exceptional game.
Yeah, no. Sometimes the way the system's set up, it just favours those sort of attacking fullbacks, be it a Cedric, be it a Alexander-Arnold or Pereira or Digne. Those sort of bonus point magnets. So, yeah, on another day or in another game, Curtis Jones might get rewarded.
Yeah, exactly. I took a punt on Kabak for FPL for this week, and obviously it was nice to see him get the clean sheet to start with, which, although annoyingly, I've just seen that he's actually flagged for this weekend now. I think Klopp said that he's potentially picked up a knock, so that's fucking frustrating. But
that was, in fairness to you, that was a good pick. I kind of went up. I saw it. I was like, not sure about that one. But yeah, 2 clean sheets for you. Can't go wrong with that.
No, exactly. All right, let's move on to the, fuck's sake, the Monday game. And it was Everton 1, Southampton 0.
Yeah, another loss for us. Thankfully, tighter than, let's say, other games. but yeah, no, a frustrating performance. But I think... I do feel for Hassan, who always limited with what he's got at his disposal. Obviously, he's got like Teller coming in. We've got young lads on the bench. But yeah, our squad's limited.
Yeah, I think we had 6 players on the bench that were under the age. No, 6 players on the bench that were born after the year 2000 for this game, which is mad. Obviously, big talking point was the fact that McCarthy finally got dropped for Fraser Forster. A lot of people have been suggesting that that could happen. I was very surprised. I didn't think he would get dropped because, you know, Hasenhüttl likes a bit of stability. Whether it could pay off, who knows? I mean, Forster is a good keeper. It would be nice to see him get back to the form that we were used to before, you know, his injury. But give him a chance. He's played well in the Cups. Maybe we might see a bit of a turn in form. However, talking of players that aren't on form, Danny Ings, Adams, Redmond, none of them look on it at the moment.
Yeah, they've all gone missing. It's not really that surprising for, say, I don't know, Redmond, but Danny Ings it is.
Yeah.
Normally Mr. Consistent, Mr. Reliable. He's the reason I did so well last season.
Yep.
He was on fire last season. And the start of this season was okay. It's, he's just gone off a little bit, and I'm not sure what that is, if it's the whole kind of confidence of the team as a whole and not just specifically him. I feel like the team is suffering at the moment. They're kind of very low, obviously, as repeated defeats and another 9-0 defeat does to you.
It does, yeah, exactly. And it does make you worry, obviously, ever since he picked up that second injury this season. He hasn't come back the same Danny Ings, and it's frustrating because obviously in a Euros year, and then obviously we've got the World Cup the following year, a lot of people would have said that, you know, he potentially nailed to get on that plane at one point. You know, the form that he was in last season, beginning of this season, I really don't think he'd be in that squad at the moment.
No. Hopefully he senses that and sort of that gives him a bit of motivation to sort of get back on the train. Like, because, yeah, I wouldn't take him, to be honest, the way he's been playing. I'd pick, say, a Rashford,
yeah,
Kane, whoever, ahead of him.
Exactly. It's unfortunate, but we just need our form to turn. And obviously we've mentioned the fact that we're slowly drifting towards that drop zone, which, God forbid. But we've got a run of games between now and game week 32 where we should be able to pick up points. Obviously, 27, we've got the double, Sheffield United and then Man City, which is a worry. We've then got Brighton, Burnley, West Brom and Crystal Palace. Now, if we can get 9 points from those six games, we're safe. And then perhaps it will give us the confidence to then go into the end of the season where, you know, we play Leicester, Liverpool, Tottenham, West Ham, Leeds. It's difficult. But if we can be safe at that point, we might then see the Southampton that we saw at the end of last season where, you know, they had nothing to play for, played with a bit of freedom. And we were probably arguably the best team that came back after that lockdown.
Yeah, no, we were. We were bang on form where everyone was speaking about how well we sort of turned it around. Yeah. But we definitely need those points sooner rather than later. Otherwise, that pressure is just going to build.
Yeah, we don't do well pressure either, do we? So,
no.
Right, let's move on to obviously the first game of the double game week. And not one really that lived up to expectation. We were all expecting massive Man City points. We were dealt another blow with a bit of Pep rotation. But it was Man City 4, Wolves 1.
Yeah. Strong performance for players I don't own. Jesus. Obviously, Mahrez. Players in the past that you'd own from City, but just Mahrez just is not consistent enough at City now. He'll have his game where he'll get a couple of goals, but he'll then go on a run of about 5-2s.
It's so annoying because Mahrez in the last four games has been on fire. Like, he's had 2 goals and 3 assists in his last four games and has played 90 minutes in all four of those games. Pep has already come out previously and said that Mahrez is one of those players that his recovery after games is exceptional. But they play 3 games in a week and then they've got the Champions League game after that. Now, Mahrez isn't going to play 90 minutes in the next 3 games, and I'd love to gamble on him because he's a brilliant player on his day, but at 8 million, no.
Well, yeah, exactly. And there's always going to be a risk that you're going to have to take him back out as well.
Yeah, so exactly.
Sort of wasting your transfers, really. But not for me. And obviously, Jesus, you've got Aguero's back now, so he could get rotated with Aguero quite easily.
Very much so. Obviously, we got quite fortunate with the fact that Wolves kind of fell apart towards the end there. And then Gundogan came on after City went 2-1 up. Obviously got his assist, which was, some tidy points, albeit he's incredibly highly owned. He's almost 40% owned in the game now, I think. So, you know, I'll take the assist.
Yeah, I was a bit annoyed. Obviously, I didn't do the hokey-cokey and bring him back in because I didn't think he was going to play. Obviously, did play, but then came on and got a return, which is fair play to him. He's been playing well.
He has, yeah. And, we'll talk about it shortly, but potential captaincy option for this week, maybe. Straight in. Right, let's jump on then. So, Burnley 1, Leicester 1. And another brilliant goal for Kelechi Iheanacho.
Yep, stepping up. Indeed, the assist. I mean, I wouldn't really go near him, but he's on his day. He's not a bad player, and 5.6 million, he's cheap.
Yeah, and the fact that when Leicester revealed their team sheet, it was effectively, I think Ndidi was playing centre back, wasn't he? So to see that, was odd. And
Burnley, short, isn't he?
Hmm?
Is, how tall is Ndidi?
Like,
I have literally no idea.
Surely he's under 6 foot.
I don't think he's over 6 foot, yeah.
No, but it was just really strange to see. And obviously, we know that they're short. Obviously, Johnny Evans was injured. Fofana was on the bench, did eventually come on, got booked, got a zero-pointer. But yeah, they've been ravaged by injuries at the moment, and it's showing. And Burnley, straight away, took advantage of that, got the goal, wiped out probably quite a few clean sheets. People might have gambled on Pereira, for instance. And if it wasn't for Kasper Schmeichel, who pulled off an unbelievable save from Chris Wood, Leicester would have lost this game.
Yeah, credit to Schmeichel for that. But yeah, you'd expect them to win this game, to be honest.
Yeah.
Obviously, Burnley are good at home, though. So you've got to account for that.
Yeah, and they had to make up for the fact that they were, 4-0 loss at Spurs. They had to bring a performance, didn't they? And they got a point, so it's not bad.
Yeah, no, so Dyche should be happy with that, I think.
Yeah, right. And then moving on to Sheffield United 1, Aston Villa 0, in a game that pissed me off from an FPL perspective.
Yeah, totally. Obviously, double Villa defence for you. You own Martinez and Target. I just own Martinez, so I actually kind of enjoyed the goal going in.
Absolute prick.
Saints old boy, David McGoldrick. He's a very clever player.
Lovely goal.
Yeah, very, very good goal. I think a lot of the stuff he does sort of goes unnoticed. Sort of little flicks around the players. He's very clever in terms of his build-up play.
Yeah.
Very good result for Sheffield United.
What did you make of Phil Jagielka's red card?
Now, I saw a lot of people saying it was harsh, you included, on Twitter. Yeah. I think that's a goal-scoring opportunity. I don't think that the defender covers him in time. I feel like it is a little bit harsh, but I don't think it's as harsh as people were saying on Twitter. I feel like it's a fair. I think it's a fair decision.
Fair enough. Yeah, you're one of a few that I've seen say that, and I'm not going to argue against it. I just feel that the challenge is so far out that there's still quite a lot to do in that moment. And we don't know accurately, I guess, the speed of the covering defender. But given he is more than 30 yards out, it just feels a bit harsh. And I mean, it didn't change the result, which, for Sheffield United, that's credit to them, that they held out. At one point, obviously, Villa were even throwing Martinez forward. And I was like, oh, here we go. Like, Martinez is going to get a goal. Came forward, I think, for at least 3 corners towards the end, which was mad. But yeah, they held on, got the clean sheet. And despite the fact that, they're relegated, at the end of the day, perhaps now that the pressure's off and they can maybe look to building towards, life back in the Championship, we might see some performances from Sheffield United.
I think so. Like, it's good to see them put in such a good performance. I feel like they have a lot of belief at the moment. There's no real pressure on them to stay up. People kind of still very much have them as down, so they're just enjoying their time in the Premier League and trying to beat everyone they play against, and they're playing some good football.
Yeah, no, exactly. And obviously, Brewster started the game. I think we could potentially expect to see him starting more regularly now to the end of the season, because they're going to want to be playing the lad in the Championship, given the amount of money they spent on him. He's proven, I think it was a couple of seasons ago or last season, how good he can be in the Championship. So given that opportunity, I think he needs to probably be integrated into the squad a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, preparing for life in the Championship is something they're going to have to do, as it does look like they're probably almost certainly going to go down. And yeah, Brewster could be a good player for them. If he builds his confidence in the Championship, then maybe the second time around in the Premier League, he'll be more confident and ready to sort of make his mark. Obviously, he's disappointed, really, this season.
Yeah, very much so. And then the other talking point in the game, just wanted to touch on, was... got a feel for Burke, obviously, coming on, I think it was the 66th minute. And then he gets subbed off for McBurney. I mean, clearly it was for defensive, because McBurney's taller, arguably better in the box at clearing crosses. But man, that was harsh.
Yeah, I bet he was kicking himself as well because he had quite a good chance where he sort of threw on goal, could have had a shot, but just it fizzled out. But
no, I felt sorry for that.
Yeah, I do feel sorry for him too.
Right, and then what a bore fest this next game was. It was Crystal Palace 0, Man United 0 in awful.
Yeah, dreadful. I mean, Crystal Palace defence owners, I mean, they must exist. They must be in the bushes. There's 3% and greater, but two clean sheets.
Yeah.
That's but they didn't see that one coming.
Who knew Palace were the team to get on for the double game week?
Yeah, there you go. We got it all wrong. Mo Salah, get in the bin.
Gary Cahill, bring him in.
There you go.
There you go, mate. I think that's the name of the pod, surely.
What, Mo Salah get in the bin or Gary Cahill?
Both, mate. Mo Salah get in the bin, Gary Cahill get him in. I mean, it's long. But yeah, I think other than that, Man United were poor. There was quite an interesting clip that I saw being shared on Twitter, which, you know, it's a man of a molehill at the end of the day, but it's amusing that Maguire obviously plays a ball up to Rashford, who is offside at the point. Rashford then obviously tries to get onto it, heads it back. Maguire shouts at him for being offside, and then I think Rashford turns around and just calls him a fucking knobhead and like, what are you expecting me to do? I see that on the Sunday League football pitch all the time when we're playing. It's hilarious. And then afterwards you go for a beer and you kiss and make up. So
I saw that too. It happens. It's funny.
It does, exactly. Right. And then let's move on to the final day of what felt like the longest double game week ever. Starting with Fulham 0, Spurs 1.
Fucking bullshit. obviously I triple captain Son, and obviously it does sort of get deflected into the goal. It was going off target, but it was so close, and it killed me to see that get wiped off.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was so happy when I saw that Opta had given that as an own goal, because at that point, I was like, I can't fucking deal with this. That's the fourth
perfect
assist that Son's got. It's
no Kane involvement. Son for me, triple captain. It was a dream. And then I was literally getting ready to text you to rub it in. And I was like, hang on, they're VAR and it might be offside. I was like, I won't do it. And then it gets ruled out for the own goal. Well, not ruled out, but given to
own goal, yeah.
Oh, is it Tosin?
Tosin Adarabaya, but I think he's asking everybody to call him Tosin now.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to say.
Yeah, a hell of a lot easier. But yeah, no, I mean, Spurs played well in the first half. Obviously, we saw Dele Alli get his first start is it his first start since the beginning of the season? It must be. So obviously he was then playing alongside Bale, Kane and Son. When you see the four of them, you're like, wow, like this could go big. Played really well in the first half. And then in the second half, Fulham just grew into the game. And, you know, obviously, Marja got his goal, which how that's ruled out winds me up. And then today, I think FIFA have announced that the rule is changing from the 1st of July to be the same as what it would be as a defensive rule. So if it's an accidental handball and your arm is in, like, a natural position, the goal won't be disallowed now. So if that ruling stood yesterday, Marja's goal counts.
Oh, wow, Fulham could go down off the back of this decision. Yeah. quite easily have got an extra point. But yeah, that's madness. Lamina's arm, what's he supposed to do? Like, he's literally in a natural position, down by his side. Just, yeah, absurd. But glad to see that FIFA, by the looks of it, are changing.
Yeah, and I read that obviously it's coincidence that this has come out after such a controversial decision. But apparently this was raised back in November, and then FIFA have now said that, yeah, that they're pressing it through for a rule change on the 1st of July. But yeah, like you said, that could have a massive impact on Fulham season, because had they got that goal, probably give them so much more confidence carrying on in that second half. They might have even gone to get a winner.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's mad that it's taken this long to actually iron these things out. I mean, football's been a game that's played for, what, over 120 years?
It's mad, on it. Yeah, it's these ridiculous rule changes. They change a rule 10 years later, they're like, oh, wait, that rule's shit. Like, we'll go back. And I fully expect with this VAR, I mean, I hate talking about VAR, but I fully expect, obviously, with these armpit offsides and the fact that, I think Gary Lineker summed it up, that level is now classified as offside. Now, that's detrimental to the game of football. So surely you'd expect the offside rule to be looked at some point, because VAR is continuing to highlight that these fine margins in the game shouldn't dictate whether a goal stands or not.
Definitely. And I think it's changing the way strikers play, because they're going to be more cautious naturally. They're going to be worrying about whether they're offside rather than just making that run.
Yep.
Because it's going to be in their back of their mind. I might be offside. I need to hang back.
You can't even stick your arm out the point where you want to go, because your shirt sleeve might then put you offside.
Yeah, exactly. Madness.
Absolute madness. Right. West Brom 0, Everton 1, and Richarlison 4 in a row.
Yeah, the man is on fire. Obviously, the Twitter herd, we all went for DCL.
Of course we did.
And it looks like a stupid decision. Richarlison is banging form. He looks the better player, more clinical. And I think I've heard a stat that DCL hasn't scored like further than like 10 yards out.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I swear I saw somewhere like all his goals have come like in less than 10 yards.
That's geez.
But Richarlison, if you're on him, then fair play to you.
Yeah, I think he's under 10% owned, I think, in the game. Yeah, 8.5% checking there. So, one hell of a shout if you've got on him. And obviously, Calvert-Lewin just isn't getting the chances at the moment. Now, I'm hoping that form turns, but it's looking like a poor decision, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, he may pick up a little bit once James Rodriguez sort of comes back fully.
Mm.
But yeah, it's not been the DCL we had from the start of the season.
No. Whereas obviously Gylfi Sigurdsson didn't start this game, but came on and got himself another assist.
Yeah, no, obviously very good from set pieces as well. When he is on the pitch, like capable of a free kick, capable of taking the pens, a decent player.
Yeah, very much so. Right, and then let's end the double game week chat with Liverpool 0. Chelsea 1, and a record that Liverpool don't particularly want, but for the first time in their history, they've lost 5 home games in a row.
Wow. Stat. Very, very shocking, really, to see Liverpool go on this kind of run, especially at Anfield, considering the record they did have.
Yeah.
Not losing over, like, what was nearly like 2 seasons, I think.
Mad.
But yeah, fair play to Mount. Another goal for him. He's looking quite a good option for if you want to replace Harvey Barnes. Obviously, won't play in 29, but over the course of the next 8 games, maybe he'll do better than someone that plays.
Yeah, very, very, very tidy player. Terrible defending for the goal. They just allowed Mount to cut inside, run across goal, and then obviously slot it into the bottom right-hand corner. But I mean, this game was summed up by the fact that Salah was subbed in the 60th minute. Like, Liverpool offered nothing going forward.
Yeah, and you've got to kind of question yourselves, like me included, he's in my team. Salah, 12.6 million, a double game week against Sheffield United and Chelsea, and he gets nothing.
Yeah.
Fucking nothing.
Exactly, and a lot of people captained him. And, you know, you'd expect at least...
You don't blame them. You don't blame them as well. He's a good player. He scored, 17 goals this season? But, yeah, he's just gone off the boil recently.
Yes, something's not quite right. And I know, obviously, Liverpool have hit by injury. They basically have no centre-backs. Obviously, now Kabak is potentially out for the weekend, so that's another problem. But they've still got one of the best attacking lineups going forward on paper, and they're just not performing. And once again, I mean, it's good to see that Sadio Mane stays on his feet, but 2 games in a row, he's been touched in the box and hasn't gone down, which, you know, from a viewer's perspective is good to see, but it does make you question sometimes that the player has gone in, is technically gone for the foul, hasn't tried to play the ball. Mane has rightfully stayed on his feet, but the ball's gone out of play. Why isn't a pen possible to be given in that scenario when if Mane goes down, VAR would look at it, there's clear contact, it's a penalty?
Well, that's a big issue, because otherwise, players will feel like they have to go down to get the pen. And someone that wasn't shy of going down was Harry Kane. I forgot to mention this. I don't know how he doesn't get booked there.
Sure.
He's throwing himself to the floor with like little contact. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And like the commentators don't really speak about him as much, or say like kind of frown upon the diving. It's just, it's Harry. Maybe he's clipped in there. Like, no, he's dived. He's thrown himself to the floor.
Yes. No, I agree. I've seen some people saying that, you know, they felt it was a penalty and stuff, but for me, it wasn't. Right. I think that sums up the double game week, and obviously very much a double game week of two halves. We had quite a lot of goals, quite a lot of returns in the first section, and then absolutely fuck all in terms of FPL returns in the second. Do you want to jump on to how you got on this game week, mate?
Yeah. So 103 points. I took a -4 hit, but you're still letting me into this 100 club. I'm not counting it as a 99.
Do you want to flake with that, mate?
Exactly, it's a flake 99. Triple captain Son paid off. 14 points trebled to 42. Obviously the defensive duo and Diaz and Stones romping home with a couple of goals.
Yeah.
Other than that, not too much to shout about, other than the Martinez 12 pointer. Johnston 12 pointer as well on my bench, but you can't play both of them unless you obviously bench boost, but
Talking to bench boosts.
Tell me how you got on.
Yeah, I played bench boost this week, and I'm bloody glad I did. I got 30 points on my bench this week. Ended up on 106 game week rank, just above 300k, which isn't bad. Obviously, big returns were probably Martinez, Stones, obviously Target getting a decent return, Kane. But on the bench, it was Luke Shaw with his 12 points, Kabak with his 8, Areola with his 8, and then Rafinha, unfortunately, with his 2. But the rest of the team, you look at it and it's just like, how the fuck did I make 106 points when you've got Harvey Barnes, Salah, Bruno, you know, DCL, none of them returning. So, that bench boost has definitely helped.
All of those I've also got my team letting me down. Harvey Barnes, obviously, you can't help that. It's an injury.
Felt for the lad. And obviously, it's been confirmed that he's out for at least 6 weeks. So,
yeah, it's not as bad as we first feared. We thought it was going to be like a full ACL, but
definitely not. No. Well, I'm not scared to admit, so I'll tell you now on the pod, I have made my FPL move for this week. I'm still debating about captaincy. Obviously, I've got Gundogan, Cancelo and Stones, all three double. Do I risk and go Cancelo with the view that, you know, he's at a rest? Could he play the double? But then fuck knows, because this is Pep. Might go Gundogan potentially, but the move that I've made is I've taken Bruno Fernandes out my team and I've brought in Heung-min Son.
Oh wow, I like that you took Fernandes out of your team, but I don't like that you've brought Son in.
What? Because you've got him.
Yeah, exactly that. That Son's been my go-to points that you don't have. So you got Son and Kane.
I do. I've got Son and Kane now. Yeah, I needed it because one, I'm trying to cover you off, stop you from catching me, but it just felt right. Obviously with Bruno, like you said, they've got Man City this weekend, tough game. Bruno could return in anything, but he doesn't play in 29 either, and I'm unlikely to captain Bruno at all until at least game week 32, so I thought, why not risk it, go without him for now and bring in Son. So Son and Kane against Palace this weekend.
Wow, who'd have thought it about 3 or 4 months ago, where I was refusing to get Bruno in and you had him for ages.
No, I'm shipping him out. Mate, if Salah wasn't playing at home, I mean, I say that, they've got Fulham who are a tough team, but if Salah wasn't at home against Fulham, then potentially I would have taken Salah out rather than Bruno.
Same.
Yeah.
I mean, I've not made my transfer yet, but it's more likely to be a boring kind of Ben Me out or Barnes out.
I was going to say, you've got the Barnes problem the same as me, don't you? But he's on my bench at the moment, and it's a problem that I'll probably resolve next week.
That is. So right,
let's jump on to Sky. And I think you've had a pretty good week, haven't you?
Yeah, particularly good week in my first team. First team, it's the worst team. Team one, I got 124 points, which I'm pretty happy with. Thanks to DS Stones, Azpilicueta. and Martinez, mainly getting most of those points. That sees me up to 5.7k in team one, which was like 26k not too long ago.
It's one hell of a rise.
Yeah, I've just been like punting on it, and it's just paying off because it's like the worse a team, so I'm not really scared. Whereas the better team, I kind of want to make good decisions, but in the end, probably don't. Team two, I've got 119 points, which isn't too bad, and I'm 2.4k in that one. So still, I think that's a rise based on last week. So I think I was like 3k. Foden missing out was kind of a bit painful. Gonna think about taking him out, but he may play against United, so I'm not sure. Something I'm gonna mull over, but yeah, five at the back, so I'm a little bit limited. But thankfully, I didn't listen to yourself.
What with the old Aspilicueta? I still think you should now drop Wan-Bissaka for a midfielder at least, or a forward, because like you said, you are stuck on that five at the back, and it just limits your flexibility somewhat.
Oh no, I think Wan-Bissaka is going to go. I wanted to keep him in for the Palace game, and he got his clean sheets.
You did, yeah.
Move him on ahead of City, I think.
Yeah, good shout. For me, I think it was a fairly average week. I got 111 points in it, so it keeps me at 39th overall. Albeit, honestly, the top five is slipping away. There feels like there's becoming too big of a gap. I think I'm 80 points behind the leader, which, you know, yeah, two big caps.
That's what it was like a week ago. So you've not really lost.
It's just, it feels like the game is very template at the moment, obviously, with the overhaul. A lot of us in the top half, or the top 100 at least, have gone for very similar players. And it's about moving off of those City assets now. So, yeah, I dropped Gundogan for Calvert-Lewin, for instance. Hasn't paid off because DCL hasn't returned and Gundogan got his assist, which was unfortunate. And I also have the Foden problem, the same as you. Like, he was my punt from overhaul. Hasn't really worked out at the moment, but I'm praying that potentially plays against Man United and Saints, given he's had two rests. But with Mahrez's form, not so sure.
Yeah, I'm not confident.
That's tricky. Whereas obviously my what is now effectively my dead team, it's got one transfer left, team two, it's still sitting 132nd, and it did okay this week. It got 108 points. So given it's a dead team and I'm just making, you know, captaincy decisions, it's not too bad. And that's with the likes of Grealish sat in that team. So it's all right. But moving forward on Sky, have you got full coverage for the game week coming?
I think so. I've yet to properly look at it, but yeah, I've got like the likes of sort of Villa assets in my teams. I think I might need to bring in Rafinha potentially for the following week. But other than that, I think I'm good.
Oh, good shout. Yeah. No, for me, I think I've got, the Villa coverage is obviously what you'd probably be looking for on Saturday. Either Villa coverage or Brighton. Ideally, Spurs coverage for the Sunday, when obviously Man United play Man City, unless you want to take a punt on Salah against Fulham, but good luck. Like you said, obviously Rafinha, I think he's a great shout for Monday, or Bamford, or even Dallas, to be fair. I mean, they've got West Ham, but the other game is Everton-Chelsea, and I think that'll be a tough game. So, tough one to call. And then obviously Wednesday, we've all got City coverage, and inevitably, we're all going to captain one against Southampton. So,
oh, definitely.
Yeah. Right. Let's move on to what was also a double game week in Champman, and one that didn't start too great for me, but ended brilliantly. How did you get on?
Yeah, played my free hit, went relatively well, 84 points. But really, it was the single game week players that did well for me. Mm-hmm. The likes of Varon, RVN, Zepeda, Yule, Angel. Sad to see Angel taken off, to be honest. Dion Dublin scored when he came on. Very frustrating, because then he sort of misses out on the bonus.
Yeah.
But yeah, big letdown for me, captaining Ashley Cole over Pires. Obviously, Pires went home with 16 points.
He did.
And I did have to say, I expected more from Jaskalainen. 3 points from two games. I was hoping to get some saves and maybe even bonus, but yeah, two poor performances from him and Colin Cooper. But hey ho, I'll take 84 points. It's much more than what I would have got if I didn't play my free hit.
That's the thing. That's what you got to weigh up. You know, yeah, there's a lot of people like myself that have outscored the free hit with the team that we've got, but you have to weigh up the fact that the team that you did have wouldn't have performed anywhere near what you got on your free hit. So you've made up the points on yourself.
Exactly. Like my team wasn't looking good.
No, yeah, I think like you say, with the Bolton assets, it was an interesting one because a lot of people, even on free hits, were piling in on Bolton. You know, some had two, some even had three Bolton defensively, you know, Cooper, Gardner and Jaskalainen, for instance. And yeah, it was quite disappointing actually to see like, yeah, Yussi get just the 3 points, given what we've seen from him this season so far. It's been, you know, a great ride. For me, Lauren was, at the start of today, I was fuming because obviously he got benched for the double game. In the end, it didn't really matter because like you know, Ashley Cole, for instance, got nothing. So it's effectively the same scenario. I was quite thankful when Bolton scored, that's for sure. But Perez again, obviously, got his clean sheet, which was good, and obviously his goal, his assist. Can't complain. 32 points.
I was close to actually getting Francis Jeffers and downgrading Van Nistelrooy and then upgrading Brian Hughes to, I can't remember who. I was going to upgrade him to someone and then just have Jeffers. But obviously RVN played and started and did well. So didn't really lose out there. But
yeah, Van Nistelrooy was... I said to you, obviously, when you sent me your team, the fact that you had Van Nistelrooy and Veron. And I was like, yeah, great shout. I mean, it's a gamble because obviously we had the leak, and the leak was a player from 11 teams. And obviously we were told that Scholesy was starting up top. Now, I did see in the Discord, you know, a lot of smart people in this game that understand the game really well were suggesting that Scholes does sometimes play up top with Van Nistelrooy when, you know, Man United have made the odd change. But to me, it screamed rep 12 and I was worried. So I decided not to take out Viduka and bring in Van Nistelrooy, which, you know, it would have been for a -4. So I'm kind of glad I didn't make the move because there wasn't a massive difference. However, holding on to Kevin Phillips was huge for me. Obviously, massive 18 points saved from a game week. So I ended up on 88 points for the week, which actually saw me as a two-place red arrow. So it just shows how big a game week it was for some people. I was bloody annoyed. I thought 88 points, you know, Perez captain, yeah, might get into the top 100. Did I fuck?
Yeah, that's harsh, getting a red arrow off of that points total. I thought you'd be on for a decent green.
Yeah, so did I. But in the Ryder Cup, obviously the Mode versus Irons, I've actually won my tie 3-2 already against Tala. So I can put my feet up for the next two games. I've done the job. And I actually think, looking at it, yeah, Mode of we've pulled it back. It's 9.5 to 8.5 with two game weeks to go in the Ryder Cup. So come on, boys. Right. I think we've got time for one question. And this is a question that I've picked because it's the big one. It's one that a lot of us are going to be asking, and it's about Man City assets. And this seems like it's probably three of the most highly owned ones. So question is, James, captaincy, do I go Gundogan, Diaz or Cancelo? And that was asked by FPL Insight.
Diaz, as he's most likely to start both games and obviously gets clean sheets, unlike Gundogan.
Yeah, out of those three, if I own Diaz, I'd captain Diaz because, yeah, I think he's probably the most nailed to play both games. If you're then willing to take a gamble, I'd go Cancelo over Gundogan, personally, because...
As would I. I mean, I don't own Cancelo or Gundogan, but, yeah, I'd be going Cancelo over Gundogan all day long.
Yeah, I just think, yeah, going and maybe against, you know, Saints, for instance, he could pick up decent attack and return, so... Albeit that pains me to say as a Saints fan, but I think Man City, if they're on their day next week, I'm worried.
Yeah, no, as am I.
Well, I think that's one hell of a cheerful note to end the podcast on. Obviously, we're going to get this out. quite short turnaround. We've got the deadline actually tomorrow morning. We're recording on a Friday evening, but we wanted to have the double game week finish before we gave you guys the pod. We like to do our full review. That's what we're about. And hopefully you have a bit of time to listen to this, even if it's after the deadline. But good luck, everybody, obviously, in both Sky, FPL. And then I think we'll probably record before Champman next week.
Yeah, should be Tuesday.
Yeah, right. We'll look at that then. So good luck, folks. It's a goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.